Security, the Microsoft Security Podfest. Talking Security. Welcome back to another episode of the Talking Security Let's Talk, where we dive deep into the ever-evolving world of cybersecurity. I'm your host, Frans Uylendorp, joined by my co-host, Poyan Gabazi. Welcome, Poyan.
Hi, everyone. Good to be back, Frans.
Yeah, today we are unpacking the most critical advancements and developments that have shaped to the Microsoft cybersecurity landscape in the last month. So grab your favorite beverage, settle in, get ready for a deep dive into the world of cybersecurity. Let's talk security. Poyan, you featured a forms. So before we dive into the updates, you featured a forms for where people can have interest in joining our monthly Let's Talk recording. Explain, what's that?
Yeah, Frans. I mean, we have mentioned a couple of times in our episodes that we would love to create a platform and give people that are working on amazing projects or in communities or have something to share to give them the platform to share their project. So the forum is actually online. People can use it. They can find the link on our socials, but I definitely also in this episode. And yeah, if you are working on something amazing or small or starting with some new project and or even you want to shoot out to someone else's project to get more attention for it, definitely fill it in. You have the option to come on the show, talk to us about it, present something if you want, if you would like. But it's also fine to just put it on with some description so we can create a shootout for you, mention that project for you.
Yeah. So we will also post the link, the links on our website, talkingsecurity.nl. There will be a link to that form, so you can use that and feature your favorite community project. So we will use that on our recordings.
Yeah. And I must say, we have some really amazing already lineups. We received a couple of really amazing registration from some people that are working or starting with some community projects. So yeah, really happy with the interaction, and definitely gonna see some new faces, hopefully, if everything goes well in the coming episodes.
Yeah, I saw some names already, somewhat familiar community. So we will feature that in the next recording. The first one will be up and running in the next recording. So this recording we will do with without one, but let's feature them for the next one. To start with some highlights, I think probably I see the second one on the list that you want to feature is DeepSeek. We have DeepSeek that was highly onto the socials, in the news in the last month. AI will be a lot different than we are used to it with OpenAI, with what is it, ChatGPT, and so on. A lot of investments is realized by companies. So what about DeepSeek?
Yeah, I mean, we can do, as you said, 10 episodes about this DeepSeek. There is a lot of things going on about what happens with your data and whatnot. I mean, let's leave that out. But what I wanted to talk about, because I think it's really interesting in the line of previous episodes we have done on Defender for Cloud series, but also on the DevSecOps series, and how easy in the time of cloud and cloud solutions vulnerabilities can come to production without you being aware of it. So what happened is actually pretty, well, maybe a little bit too simple. After that, DeepSeek was once announced and suddenly went viral on the socials and on the news. The team from Wiz, cybersecurity from Israel, they started a reconnaissance on the DeepSeek's public domain names, actually, the public accessible domain names. And then they started just by mapping the external surface and then seeing what URLs are there. And then just within, I think they found out something around 30 internet-facing subdomains. And then just by looking at what it does, then there were a lot, some like API that DeepSeek and status space, et cetera, all kind of subdomains, what's normal with the application. Well, what happens this time is they also saw a URL, and I think it was the OAuth to callback DeepSeek.com, and which was actually a ClickHouse database. Which was completely open and unauthenticated, exposing just sensitive data. It was like they just logged in onto it on port 9000, and it was like containing all kind of API secrets and chat histories, and et cetera, et cetera. Of course, the URLs that we are mentioning now, they are offline. The Wiz team immediately worked together with the team to solve this. But I think this shows how big or small you are, how fast and easily, and sometimes you wouldn't expect it, but how easy certain vulnerabilities are created within your infrastructure, and why, when it comes to cloud solutions, solutions as Defender for Cloud or GitHub Advanced Security for your code development, etc., are so important. Because or even solutions like Max or External Attack Surface Management to also monitor your solution from outside world. And with Defender for Cloud, create a full mapping of your whole ecosystem and find all the attack paths that are there, for example. So that's why I wanted to mention it out. It's fixed, but it showed like even as platform which has like millions of fundings behind it, a simple mistake is made easy.
And besides DeepSeek, we are recording this episode on the February 11th. Yep. What day is that?
Well, today is the official Saber Internet Day of 2025. And with the theme for this year is Together for a Better Internet. And the idea behind it is to cooperate more together to create a safer and better internet for everyone, but mainly for children and younger generation. So, and there are multiple activities around it. There are multiple organizations, corporations working and creating all kind of activities to create more awareness around a safer internet. I think we all agree that you also mentioned with the social medias, even with the AI, everything happening now. I mean, what is real, what is fake?
And also Microsoft is also doing stuff with that. There is a blog post online, Safer Internet Day 2025, tackling abusive AI generated content risks through education and empowerment. So I will feature that link also in the description. That's all regarding the use of AI and how cybersecurity is used within the partnering with ChildNet, Minecraft, CyberSafe AI, dig deeper, a guide for older adults, and so on. So I think a lot of interesting information to get to you to see how we can internet how we can make that a safer place, so to say.
So I believe you have also some updates besides the general highlights for us. Defender for Endpoint France.
I use Defender for Endpoint, Defender for Office, Defender for Identity. So I saw some updates popping up in the last month. So aggregated reporting is in preview in Defender for Endpoint. And aggregated reporting in Defender for Endpoint addresses constraints on event reporting in Defender for Endpoint. So aggregated reporting extends single reporting intervals to significantly reduce the size of reported events. And I think it reduces noise in collected data. And I think that the single to noise ratio it better performed and efficient. So I think it helped to see information into the Defender for Endpoint. So you can put that marker on in the Defender for Endpoint settings. So there's one of the features that's there. If you have if you have the option for preview features, if that's enabled, then it will be enabled automatically. But yeah, you need a Defender for Endpoint Plan 2 license. So if you have E5 layer security or E5, then it's part of it. If you only have E3, you probably have not the option, and it will be hided. But yeah, you can use that that preview feature within Defender for Endpoint, and I think it's for reporting purposes. I think it's really useful to have a look on that. And to move forward, Defender for Office, not that big updates on Defender for Office, and I think a lot of work has happened in the back on the LLM, where we talked about the last few recordings. I think a few months ago, or probably a bit longer, a new large language model within Defender for Office is introduced. So a lot of work needs to be done there by the team to make that more. I don't say that well, but I make that more useful for customers, so that the detections will be better and better. But besides that, we have also the built-in report button in Outlook that's used on Windows and Mac for already a long time. But that built-in report button is also available in iOS and Android version 4.2 or 4.2, 4.4.6 or later. So that now supports the user reported settings experience to report message as phishing, junk, and as not junk. So you have the ability on your mobile within Outlook to report phishing, junk, or not junk, so that it will be in your inbox as well.
Yeah, nice. It's I think it's a really great. I think it's only not great if you are using a different spam validation tool, because then people are reporting your test.
I have a lot of conversations going on with customers, because I have a few customers that are using another tool like KnowBefore, like Phished, like whatever. They have all their own button within Outlook, within so there will be an XML that you can import and use it from the M365 app store, so to say. So it will be available in Outlook on the web, in the new Outlook, and also on Outlook Mobile and that kind of stuff. And then on many of that partners that are using their own button, they are not integrated with the Defender for Office learning experience. So only Know Before does it nowadays. They have the integration with MDO. Don't know how they fixed that, but the integration is there. So if you are report an potential malicious mail, it will also report it to Defender for Office. And if it's a phishing simulation, it will not be reported. And then it's only in the ecosystem of that specific vendor. And I think have a look on the built-in report button with an Outlook, because it's fully integrated and it's really useful. Yeah.
Nice. Good info, I think.
Yeah, definitely. Last one, Defender for Identity. You know that we have back in the days Microsoft Local Admin Password solution that was very big in on-prem labs. We have that already within Entra and in Intune. So we have the ability to do some updating on the local admin passwords if a local admin is there. But we now already also have the posture recommendation for protect and manage local admin passwords with Microsoft Labs in Defender for Identity. So if you have Windows Labs, or you have local admins, you will get the posture recommendation within Defender for Identity. So I think it's really useful. If there are local admins that are in your ecosystem on Windows, it's only Windows that have that, then you can you will get the recommendation to move forward on that.
And will the recommendation, will it also impact your secure score, for example?
Yeah, definitely. All the posture recommendations within Defender are part of the secure score. So your secure score will be impacted if you have that on, or if it's not on and only a recommendation, then you have a lower score within the secure score. Yeah, definitely.
Yeah. Amazing. I think, it's a perfect solution, right, for having some local admin without having permanent local admin.
In my opinion, you don't need to have local admins because in a modern managed environment, all the local admins should have not be enabled. So you probably don't need it. And this is a discussion that I have a lot of times at customers, because in my opinion, a local admin doesn't need to be there. But if it's there because of legacy software, whatever, I highly recommend it to use Microsoft Labs on that.
It's the same as global admin. As a contributor, as your owner, you don't need that.
Yeah, definitely.
Shouldn't be there. Nice. What else, Frans?
Other thing, the attack path tab on the we know the attack path tab already within Defender for Endpoint and other defenders. That's now also available on the identity profile page within Defender for Identity. So what you see is the visibility into potential attack paths leading to a critical identity or involving it within the path, helping assess security risks. And that's what Microsoft has described in the What's New page. So you get deeper visibility on what has happened on a specific identity. And I think that clarification within Defender for Identity is really helpful. So you get better understanding of the attack paths that are there, what has happened in your environment. And I think, that's, if we know more, we can move forward, do the right actions on that. And I think that is really helpful.
Yeah. I think in general, Microsoft is investing a lot on the attack paths because they started with it with Defender for Cloud, of course.
Yeah.
And now, of course, in Defender XDR, it's there as well. The whole attack path from the client to user to cloud resources.
There's a lot of investment on the pure visibility part to make it more visible for security analysts to define. For them, it's better and easier to define what's the next step that I need to take on securing, in this case, an identity, but in general, endpoint, email, identity, apps. It's part of the old ecosystem that we are using nowadays, and the visibility does really help. Yeah.
Yeah. Nice.
Another thing, small update, new and updated events in the advanced hunting, identity directory events table. So Microsoft added and updated the following events in the identity directory events table: the user account control flag, the security group creation in Active Directory, the failed attempt to change an account password, a successful account password change, and the account primary group ID has been changed. And I think if you are using advanced hunting, please be aware of that, because it can be helpful to know what kind of events are updated, so you can update your advanced hunting queries as well.
Nice.
And what kind of do we have updates in Defender XDR?
Yeah, for Defender XDR, there are some updates. I just flagged out one for today, which I think it's in line of importance. We have in the Defender for Cloud, of course, the container availability assessment scanning. Where Microsoft is scanning actively your containers in running state or in pre-scan, pre-run. And they have now announced that they are going to enhance the availability assessment scanning to coverage also additional programming languages like PHP, Ruby, and Rust. So if you are having a solution which is containerized and is running on Ruby, for example, and you are having certain vulnerabilities in there, those will be flagged now as well. And extended languages as Java has been extended to include, for example, a scanning for exploded jars. And some memory usage improvements as well. They have optimized the performance when they are reading large container image files. So if you have a bigger image, normally have an impact on the performance. This is all part powered by the MDVM, so the Microsoft Defender Vulnerability Management. It's just part of that whole Defender for Cloud and microservices scanning and getting control. That was an interesting one for XDR. To continue on that, we have also some updates on Sentinel side.
Yeah.
We have mentioned, I think, from episode one that there's a lot happening from Ignite on when it comes to threat intelligence. I believe last year they introduced the whole Microsoft Defender Threat Intelligence platform, and which is now the data connector for. So that's a licensed version, which you have. You have the standard and the professional version. And the data connector to ingest those threat intelligence into Sentinel for both standard and premium is GA now. But they have also updated the threat intelligence API for Microsoft Sentinel. So you can send your own Styx objects to it. So if you are having your own MISP instance or any other trade intelligence platform, you can use that API to send those indicators to already to Sentinel. But what we have discussed earlier in the sense that they are making it broader and they are integrating more, they are more adding more features. So it's not only an indicator, it's so they have now added some additional, so there you can also enrich your objects, sticks objects with attack pattern, for example, the identity, the threat actor. So if you have like an IP or something in that sense, you can now map that also to the threat actor to say, okay, this threat actor is using this kind of IOCs. But also relationships to flag it to other threat actors or identities, etc., etc. So I think the goal it shows, and that the same integration have been also updated for Microsoft Sentinel in the Unified SOC side to integrate better with the Defender Threat Intelligence. And this is just to, yeah, to get a complete picture of your IOC. So it's not only an IP or file hash you're looking at. It's part of a bigger threat actor or relations to other stuff in that sense.
Nice. That I think that were all the updates that we want to feature. Do we have any other specific things?
I think a lot will be coming in. Well, we are now in February, March, of course, but we will talk about that in a sec, of course.
So we will probably feature that in the next recording. If you move on, the community spotlight that we always have. I saw you posted a short URL, threathunters.nl. I was using that already for my website. What does Threat Hunters does? And I will feature the URL also in the description. But what is it?
Threat Hunters is a initiative from Reza from the Netherlands. And he created a platform to detect attacks against primarily Dutch websites. So it's an engine what he has developed, and you can enter the URL that you have, for example, your mail received or through other channels. And then you can go to the threathunter.nl, open it up, and it will analyze it for you and show us scores to it, if there are any signature matches. So let me, for example, I was looking at the website. There were I don't know who posted it, because if you have like a button, you can say recent scans as well. And you have like URLs like achterstand.voldoen-2025.com. It doesn't feel like a really legit Dutch website. So if you go, if you would have entered that, you will see that there's a screenshot of that with showing that it's suspected to phishing. The IP address behind it, the matches they did based on NSLookup to get a better understanding. So it's a bombard if you are doing an incident response or anything in that sense, and you want to scan an IP website to get more information about
it. And it's really easy to use. Put in a URL that you have received, and you will get a lot of information that is useful to make the next step in your analysis of that specific domain.
Yeah, and it's free. It's open source, so. Amazing work from Reza. It's part of the Threat Intelligence Lab, so the guys are doing really good, great work there as well. But yeah, thanks for this open source project.
Yeah, and from an event perspective, last month we featured a few events. So Workplace Ninja Connect was there last week. So look out for some podcast recordings that we have done there. So wpninjas.nl, and you will see them. So shameless plug from myself there. You will be volunteering the Yellowheads live event, probably March 6th. Event still not there, but keep an eye on. I think tickets are sold out, but the virtual event can still be attended, so you can get a free ticket for that. Do we have a new security-related event in the next few weeks, probably?
Yeah, so there is a blog post from Maxo, which we'll include, where they have, like, Maxo mentioned out where you can visit, which events you can visit virtually or physical to get the best information from the Microsoft security experts in 2025. And while I was according to it, I was like, yeah, of course. But we have, of course, Microsoft Secure coming. So that's where I was referring to. So I think a lot of news will for the coming months when it comes to introducing new features will be a little bit slower because we are heading, of course, to the MVP summit, where there will be a lot of interaction with the PMs and product teams. And I think a lot of them are also preparing to do a lot of GA or announcements, at least what happens often at Microsoft Secure. That will be on 9th of April. It's an online only event. I think one of the best events. Last year, they introduced Copilot for Security, or at the time, Security Copilot. It's what we'd like to name it, but so they do announce really big solutions there. In May, we have AirSOC in San Francisco. And I think Black Hat was you already mentioned in Vegas. Yep. It's in August, so it's going to be hot there. And of course, I think, is it security or not security, but the Max of AI on tour. The Microsoft AI on Tour is a global event going already. I believe there are already outside of the Netherlands some events in Budapest and Riyadh and in Dubai. It's already it's in the past, and I think some are coming. Looking at the website. Detroit Booker. So it's a huge international, and I think it's coming to Utrecht every year as well. And this year it will be on March 20. It's free. Make sure you register on time. I think in the coming weeks there will be a lot of posts around that as well.
Nice. So I will post the website, the Microsoft.com, the security blog, where all the top cybersecurity events for 2025 will be featured. I will post them on the in the description and in the post as well. So keep an eye on that and see what kind of things happening in your area, so you can probably attend. So I think. We will do one recording in the beginning of March before we heading to Seattle and do a lot of stuff in Seattle as well live from the campus. So we will do a few video recordings there, probably some short interviews, and see if we can highlight some things. Not the things that we hear there every day, but maybe.
I don't know.
Otherwise, we have an issue probably. But let's see. That are the events.
Well, I have one event, if I have 1 second, because this one is a little bit to my heart. It's on 19th of February. It's a digital one. If you are part of the Microsoft CSPM program, which we have talked about a lot, so get registered there definitely. Because it's from one and only Ofer Shifaz, and he's going to talk about Microsoft Sentinel and how it integrates as the number one cloud SIEM and the best SIEM as a code, how we call it. So how you can interact with your SIEM solution from a code perspective with repository blades, etc., etc. So definitely, if you are part of the Microsoft security community, register for that, because it's going to be, like always, from over and amazing.
Yeah, nice. Looking forward to that one.
Yep.
Move forward. The fun geeky element of this show. Last time we had a trivia question that was, let me see, in which year did the infamous Yahoo data breach occur, exposing over 3 billion user accounts? And the answer was 2013. So if you send it to us, we had a few responses, and we will feature one, and we will send out some gear and some swag to them. So another question, and if you have no, we don't do that. I will give the answer. What was the name of the first computer virus that spread in the wild, so outside of a controlled environment? And who was its creator? Do you know that? Don't look at the notes.
Well, okay. I'll honest. I thought you were referring to the real the story behind where the name virus came from, which was a physical a bug that got stuck into the hardware and the relays, but that wasn't the case. So besides that, no, I didn't come up to it. So
no, and
I
even didn't know. But yeah. The first computer virus that spread in the wild was the brain virus. It's created by two Pakistani brothers, Basit and Amjad Farooq Alvi, in 1986. The virus was targeted IBM PC systems and was spread via infected floppy disk. Can you imagine that we have used floppy disk in the past instead of being connected everywhere? So I did
install my first operating systems using floppy. So, but I can check out for this question, because this was this happened before I was born. So.
Yeah. I was already a few years old.
Yeah. But I have a joker to stay. I can know this.
Yeah.
Nice.
Okay. So if you have a trivia for us, please reach out, and we will feature that in the next recording. So thanks for listening. It's a wrap for today's episode of the Talking Security Let's Talk. We hope our exploration of the latest Microsoft cybersecurity advancements in the Defender space has provided you with valuable insights and actionable strategies to enhance your organization's defenses. Hopefully. So we use Copilot and other AI systems quite a lot for all these kind of text in our recordings, and I think that's doing well. Thanks, Bojan, for this recording. Let's move on to the next one.
Thank you, Frans. It was great to be here again.
Thanks for listening. If you do a thumbs up, give us some review. We love that. We can learn from that. And I say, until then, stay vigilant, stay informed, keep the dialogue going on. Together, we can navigate the complexity of the cybersecurity landscape. I am Frans Oudendorp with my co-host, Poyan Gabazi. Thanks for joining us on the Talking Security. Let's talk. Take care, and we'll catch you in the next one. Talking Security, the Microsoft.